All right, it is 6 o'clock. We will go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Mayor and Council meeting for Monday, April 17th workshop. First, we have a public comment. Mr. Christopher, if you'd like to step up to the podium. Official.
That's right. My name is Matt Christopher. I am the Worshipful Master of Nanticoke Lodge here in Fettlesburg. It's the Masonic Lodge. Located at 311 Green Ridge Road. We are working on doing some fundraising events, one of those events being the food truck event. So the expert on the food truck event is Mr. Rick Willis, who is past master. I'm going to invite him to come up here, if that's okay, because this is his idea, his vision. I just want to help see it come to fruition.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I'm not going to bore you with the tedium of reintroducing the lodge again. I'm Rick Willis. I'm a 12-year member of the Mason Lodge here in Fredericksburg. For a couple years now, I've been kicking around the idea of getting our lodge more out and involved in the public. In order to do that, we need to stage events. Mayor, you and I spoke briefly about this event before. My idea is more than just a food truck rally. I want to do a food truck rally, Brewfest. My idea is to call it Taste of the Shore and only invite those that are making these things on the Eastern Shore. Somewhat local to our area, bring in local breweries and food trucks. The main thing that we wanted to come here to figure out is exactly what we would need to do to make this happen here in Fellowsburg and maybe turn it into an annual event instead of just a one-shot, bring a lot more attention here to Fettlesburg. I know that we have spoken about maybe Chambers Park, maybe at the marina. My one concern is that I know that we would need an area, especially if we're doing the brewery part of it, that we can cordon off and make it hard to access for those underage or only one way in, one way out kind of deal. So, with that being said, you know, Mayor, Council, what would you guys need from us to make such an event happen?
So, first, I would say you would need to pick your location, and I can say so. We have the Bicentennial Festival on May 20th that we are doing in downtown Fettlesburg at the Northwest Fork Dock area. We are actually doing a beer and wine garden. And basically what you had to cordon off is you can cordon off an area, but that basically is so that people aren't leaving with it, right? Underage can be in there, but there's somebody that has to be carting for drinking. So we went to, what is it, Greensboro? We had gone to an event they had there, and it was basically a wide open area that they had some perimeter fencing, right? But it was wide open, and they did have somebody that was carting. Yeah, when you got in, you got a band, and that's where you were. That's
yeah,
where you went to get your drinks.
The event that I went to was very similar. That was the Mactoberfest, and they did mm-hmm. 4-H Park.
Yeah. Right.
You and I actually chatted
yep.
that afternoon.
Right. So, I mean, what we're doing down at Northwest Fork Dock is the section that we're turning in is basically the part of the dock. Basically, our town parking lot down there is what we're sectioning off,
okay.
right? And that's what we're turning in is with the fencing area.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, if you wanted to choose the marina, you could section off there, or Chambers Park, you know, you could certainly, with the trees, you know, section off
right.
an area up there.
Is there any kind of special permitting you guys would need from us?
So there is a town. You do have to apply to be able to have the liquor license, because technically there's no alcohol on town property, so you
okay.
do have to apply for, you know, the liquor license for the one day. And it's county approved first, and then we would give you our approval.
Oh, so do we need to go to the county? Or?
You do have to go to the county liquor board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have people that are tipster. I mean, Debbie's well-versed in that, so Councilwoman Sewell can tell you that process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy we can chat. I can tell you, answer any questions you have right now, but we can also chat as you get closer to actually.
Part of my problem is that I don't know what I don't know. So, we're trying very, very early on in the conception of this. We wanted to come in as quickly as we could to kind of find our footing a little bit.
So the one thing I would recommend is that pick your date and get your food truck secured, because we had a hard time. There is a lot of competition now for food trucks, because instead of organizations selling food, it's just easier to call in a food truck, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like organizations are losing out on fundraising, but it's a lot easier for somebody to roll up with their kitchen open up the doors and sell their food than it is for, you know, the organizations that normally would sell food during events. So I would say those are the first things you need to do,
right.
And then everything else I think will fall into place. Mm-hmm. Pick your date, pick your location, and secure your food trucks, and then everything else is a lot easier from there.
License.
Right.
Okay. You boys have any other questions?
As far as putting that on the town website, is that once we pick a date and start getting closer, is that a possibility?
So we would share anything that's going on in town, we're starting to share so we can get good traction and good movement. So what do you guys have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so on your Facebook page, I would create it as an event, right? And then we will certainly share it amongst us so we get, you know, so you can get the following.
Awesome. We'll probably be back at some future point because we'll come up with more questions. But thank you for your time.
Sure. We're happy to help you any way we can. We'd love to see activities.
Mr.
There's a lot of stuff starting to going on around here. We're happy to help you guys.
I'm happy to help with
okay.
the liquor license and whatever.
Thank you. Okay, next we have the bicentennial honorees. So each month, since this is our bicentennial year, we are honoring a legacy member and a community member each month. So our legacy member for the month of April is Mr. Merrill Morgan. Mr. Morgan was born in Nyack, New York, and he grew up in northern New Jersey. In high school, he was an outstanding basketball player and was awarded the 1955-56 Essex County Outstanding High School Player. He played varsity basketball at Duke University, where he graduated in 1961 with a degree in history. After a short stint in banking and serving active duty in the Army National Guard, he was employed as a history teacher and a basketball coach in New Jersey. He attended the University of Pennsylvania, where he received his master's degree in guidance. In 1967, he came to Caroline County's Colonel Richardson High School, where he served as a guidance counselor from 1967 to 2004, and varsity boys basketball coach from 1967 to 2005, and assistant girls track coach in the 1970s. He said he wanted to be remembered for always being fair. For many years, he was the executive director for the Caroline County Youth Commission and enjoyed working with students and their families from all parts of the county, as the program provided recreational activities for school-age youth. He was active in many organizations through the years, including the JCs, Partners in Care, Human Services Council, and the Fettlesburg Lions Club. What was most striking about the beloved coach is his composure on and off the court. He compiled a 505-396 record during his coaching career and led Colonel to 5 state Final Four berths. Besides being a coach, he was also described as a mentor, encourager, soft-spoken, calm gentleman, respected the game, and loved recreation and not just basketball. Most notably, the gymnasium at Colonel Richardson High School and the public courts here in Fettlesburg are named for Mr. Merrill. And this is the first legacy person that we've had that I actually interacted with. And as part of the Lions Club, it didn't matter what Mr. Merrill did, he just wanted to be able to participate, and he just wanted to be able to help, whether it was just handing out gloves or sitting at a table signing in people. He was just happy to be there and happy to help. So it's our pleasure to honor him as our legacy member. And our community member that we have here with us tonight is Mr. Frank Adams. Frank was born in a hospital in Ridgely, Maryland, and the first thing I thought was, there was a hospital in Ridgely? And Frank said, yes, there was a hospital in Ridgely in 1940. He moved to Fettlesburg when he was 6 months old, and he's lived in Fettlesburg the rest of his life, except for 6 months when he first got married and lived in Seaford. He was blessed with 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys. They lost their youngest son, Kevin, when he was 16 years old in a car accident. His wife never worked, and she died 5 years ago. His 2 daughters live nearby, Debbie in Fettlesburg and Cindy in Bridgeville. His son Troy is a preacher and has a church in Indiana, Pennsylvania. When he was in high school, he learned to become a barber at the age of 15 and worked in Johnson's Barbershop while he was in school. He worked at DuPont's for 2 years and then started his own barbershop here in Fettlesburg. It was a big success. He then became a nationwide agent in Fettlesburg for 42 years. He became involved with economic development when they first started when the first industrial park was formed. He became president of the Economic Development Council about 1 year after he became member, and stayed president for over 40 years. He was also on the Caroline County Economic Development Council for over 30 years. He was involved in every business that came to Federalsburg except for Solo Cup, and he was involved in many new businesses in Caroline County. He thinks Federalsburg is a wonderful place to live, and the people are friendly, low crime, and few great stores. He would not want to live anywhere else. So, Mr. Frank, thank you for all of you've done for the town of Federalsburg and trying to make us better with the industrial parks and getting businesses here and your support for the community.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
The success of the industrial park goes to a lot of people, not just me, that's for sure. And through the years, I had a great working relationship with every mayor and council that I worked with and with all the county commissioners. And Jock Walsh was a tremendous help. And we've worked as a team. We got it together. It just does me a lot of good when I ride around town and see this business or that business. I think, yeah, I had a little bit of part getting them in here, you know, so it was good. I think the big success of getting economic development in your town is from within. And what I mean within, that all these businesses in town buy their product from somebody. And the somebody they're buying from sometimes need to expand or needs to change from where they're at. And if you can get that information ahead of time, you got a chance of getting them here. One cute story, I guess, was a sewing factory that came here, and I read in a newspaper or heard on the news, I'm not sure which, that they were going to Cambridge and, had a big blast in there. So I had people's name I needed to call, and I called them up, and the guy said, no. I said, we've already agreed to go to Cambridge. I said, well, we've got a building here that's really nice. You need to see it. And I talked to him, and he said, well, my wife and I are going to Ocean City. We'll just stop by and take a look at it. That's all it took. Once I got him here, and he saw what it was, and saw the price, and saw the advantages, we landed that business. And I could tell you story after story after story. But that's how economic development works best, is from within. You know, you're not going to get much help from the state. Never did get much help from the state bringing somebody in here. It's been my pleasure to be president of that and work all them years. I just wanted to have a place for my kids to work. It turned out pretty good. My two daughters are living close by and live, and they don't work in Federalsburg. Well, my one daughter does. The other one works in Denton. And of course, my son's a preacher up in Pennsylvania, but it's just nice to work together. If you can work together and try to bend when you have to bend and do what you have to do, you can get them here. And through this pandemic mess we've had, it's slowed everything up for sure. Anybody have any questions?
No, we're good.
Congratulations.
We do want to take a picture with you, though.
Right. Well, I would like to say one more thing while I'm here, and this just happened today, I guess, or yesterday. I got the thing from about the revolving loan fund, and I know that all of you have been texted or emailed the information on that, and I think that having at least $300,000 in there would be a tremendous help in getting businesses here. We don't have a lot of things in Federalsburg that these people are looking for. And I lost more businesses that want to come here because they brought their wife here, and there's no big shopping center, there's no hospital, there's not this and that, the other we don't have in Federalsburg. And we need that extra little punch to get them in here. And sometimes that revolving loan fund will work. So I hope that y'all can reconsider and keep a sum of money in there.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take a quick picture with Mr. Frank so he doesn't have to hang on here the whole time. Professional photographer, can you?
That's what we call it. Yeah.
Does that mean Austin?
Yes, come down here. Everybody has to come down here. That's why you're wearing your red shirt today, too.
Ears.
Right here in the center.
Did you get my ticket?
Yep. Well, I'm following you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thanks for being able to come to the meetings. We appreciate all you've done.
It's going
to
happen.
It's yours.
Thank you.
I'm not going to give very far. You won't cash it in or anything. Sorry about that.
She is behind us. Golly.
Okay, next we have a presentation from Scott Stewart, Stewart Amos Sweeper Company.
Yes, that would be me. So, I met your town people. I met Steve Gott, the late Gott, some time ago in my travels, because we make street sweepers in Harrisburg, PA. We actually manufacture them right there. And I sell direct in this area. We have dealers all around the country, but in this area, Maryland, Delaware, and Northern Virginia, D.C., and West Virginia, I sell. I live in New York, PA, and I'm happy to come down here. And I stopped in after I found out Steve was gone. So actually, the way I found out was he called me wanting a sweeper at the college, but that college isn't big enough for a sweeper like we have, so I had to pass on that one. But anyhow, we were looking at your sweeper, which was wearing out, and Steve said he didn't know what year it was going to be when it needed replaced. It doesn't even matter. These things take a long time, but so I figured I talked to Larry, and Larry said, yeah, you can come, you know, get it, just at least introduce myself to you guys and everything. So we make the, what you have now, if I remember right, is regenerative air sweeper. And that's what this one is that we make. We make a big one. Maybe someone saw it out there. I'm driving the sweeper now because I was demoing a big one this week. Wasn't planning on it, but it doesn't matter. I had my appointment, so I figured I'd just bring the sweeper. But this sweeper right here is on the Isuzu chassis. Which, I should sit down so people can see. I don't know where I stand. I'll be in the way. This one's on the Isuzu chassis, which has a lot of advantages. And then yours is on the Isuzu chassis now that you have, which is the right size for your size town because it's not quite so wide and it's not quite so tall for trees and stuff. And it has a tighter turning radius than like a Big Mac or a Freightliner like I have outside. They're more for highways and bigger companies, construction companies. So this sweeper here, quite simply, and I know I only have a few minutes, but most people probably don't know exactly what these things do. The regenerative air sweeper, we make two models of it. The one on the left is a high dump. If you look right here, that's the biggest difference. This one dumps up here. That's the R4. This one pivots right here. There's the difference. This one will dump in a dumpster or a roll-off container, if some people do that. Like Baltimore bought a couple of these because they, Baltimore County, I should say, because they have dumpsters set at certain places. It's too far to drive back to dump at the yard. Now, you don't really have that problem. So if you're going to dump on the ground, you'd want this one because it's a bigger hopper and you're only about $2,000 difference in price. And in the scheme of the price of these, that's like nothing. That's just not a picture of it. I'm going to do it real fast. There's a big one like I have tonight, but you would not want that. So here's how they work in a nutshell. Just going to hit the major points. This is true for all regenerative air sweepers. What it means is they reuse the air. So this right here is a huge impeller fan. And this thing is driven by the Kubota engine through a belt. Can't see it, but it goes right across here. So the sweeper has its own engine. It's sometimes called a pony engine or a sweeper engine. And that engine runs this fan. And this big impeller fan spins counterclockwise. And what it does, it blasts the air down this side. So you see two rubber hoses on a sweeper like this, and you would think it might suck up both sides, but it doesn't. What it does is it blasts the air down on the driver's side. And here's a picture of how it works. So the blue goes down, the air swirls around through a vortex inside this pickup head, and this pickup head rides on sleds right on the ground. It actually goes down, it just rides on the ground, and then the air gets sucked up the other side into the big hopper, and then regenerated, hence the word regenerative air. These things are better for picking up fine stuff, like fines like sand and gravel and silica and little particles like that. And the reason they're more popular now is because the MS4 regulations, I'm sure you guys deal with that or have anything you have to comply with how many fines, like sand and small cinders, go down in a storm drain, which end up in the river, and then a bay somewhere, or, you know, down in a Chesapeake Bay, whatever. So, and that's one of the things that the environmental crowd is real big on stopping. A broom sweeper that has a big broom on the back, it's better for construction, mud, stuff like that, but it's not better for picking up the fines that I just mentioned. And that's why this is the most popular sweeper for cities and municipalities. That just shows up. And that's the underside, on the right there is the underside of the suction head. It has rubber squeegees on the ground that actually help keep the air in to make it work. This is the passenger side, that would be air up right there. So air down on the driver's side, air up on the other side. Rides on these carbide sleds right here, that's what rides in the ground. Has water jets all over it to keep the dust down. That's the internal cab driver, or the controls right there. Water sprayers in the front. The curb brooms on these things, of course, will clean out the curb. And they're replaceable sections on here that make it real easy to maintain. One of the nice things about our sweepers is they're very easy for the average mechanic to take care of. They're simple. You can get to all the stuff. All of our hydraulics are labeled so you know what they are. All of our solenoids have LED lights on them so you can see whether it's getting power or not in the event that something doesn't work. This is the one thing here that's nice too, is the suction wand on the back. Well, that just shows a bunch of other stuff there, but let me get to that. We have three cameras on this sweeper. There's lights on the top that come standard on the back. Has a 12-volt override pump on it, in case it's in a garage, you don't want to start the Kubota engine, or if the Kubota engine for some reason wouldn't work, you can still dump the debris out of the hopper. But the suction wand, this is a cleanup. This is how easy they are to clean out. When you tilt it up, the whole thing opens. That guy's holding a pressure washer. It's kind of hard to tell. But you can easily clean the screens and clean out the hopper. Has a storage compartment in the back. This is a very popular option right here. Most everybody gets this. It's a pressure washer with a 50-foot hose reel, and it goes hand-in-hand with that suction wand. Remember we were talking about that? You can use that to pick up leaves if you want, but it's mainly it's designed for cleaning out storm drains, catch basins. I don't know if you guys have that now or not, and I don't know what you do for that. I know some small towns hire a company to come in and do that, and it's like $2,700 every time they come in and clean out a couple storm drains. With our sweeper, it's a dual purpose with the vacuum. That option is almost a must, because you can do all that yourself now. You guys can clean out catch basins and storm drains. That's a picture of it on the back with the hose on the back right there at stored. Some people like to get the aero stick. That's an option. But these beacon lights are all standard up here. So, again, that's optional. Dual steer is optional. Most people do not get that on the Isuzu. You don't want a magnet. That's for junkyards and stuff that have flat tires all the time. And that's it. So that was really, really quick. Does anyone have any sweeper questions in general or anything? I'll be glad to answer them for you. Otherwise, you know, when you guys need a sweeper, we'd love to sell you one.
I do have a curious question. How long y'all been in business making sweepers?
80 years in business, but making sweepers since 03.
Since 03?
Yeah, 03. Quite a while.
Your sweeper pretty much compares the same principle as the Timco?
Yes.
It's the exact same deal, basically.
It's the same principle. Yeah, use a stainless steel, as you can see in the pictures. I didn't really mention it. We use a grade 304 stainless. So our hoppers never wear out. Most of them are steel. And after so many years, they start to suck in because it's so abrasive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we do that. We buy our Isuzu chassis with a 5-year, 150,000-mile powertrain warranty right from Isuzu. That gets passed on to the end user. That's a plus. You're never going to put 150,000 miles on it, but you will have it 5 years, obviously.
Right.
So at least you get that coverage.
All right. What are we looking at cost-wise?
These things are right around 260 to start. You put the wand and stuff on it, around 270. We really don't have that many other options. Ours are pretty well-equipped standard. When are you guys thinking of doing anything? I remember Steve said maybe next year, meaning this year, maybe the year after that. He wasn't sure.
I can. We've got a few other things in the hopper, literally, that we have to deal with before we can buy another street sweeper. So.
So I can't sweep you off your feet because you have more stuff in the hopper.
That's right. Exactly.
We would like to be sweeped.
Yes, yeah. I would like to.
No, well, you know what? These leaf sucker. Take a lot of time. That's yeah. Well, you can use that thing to pick up leaves too. I mean, it'll suck out if the you know the sweeper. It's like trimming with your arm with a push mower, and then using the riding tractor.
Right.
The sweeper's not going to get in every corner. So yes, that thing will suck out anything out of a corner that the sweeper will come into.
Great. Thank
and
you.
I can surely show you guys one again if you ever want to see one. You know, demo it when it gets closer.
Sounds good. Does anybody have any other questions? Great. Thank you so
right,
much. Thanks
thank
for the
you.
Presentation.
Thanks.
Now you know a little more about a sweeper than you might know before. Whether you really ever need it or not, you probably won't. But.
Next time you see it go down the street, you'll know how it operates.
That's right. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Now you can go on with your regular business.
Okay, next we have the town code for ordinance chapter 158, rental housing, review and possible text amendment.
Trash.
Oh, yeah, I had another note on there, sorry. Residential trash collection. All right, so we received two bids. Town manager, to read. Do you want to discuss
that?
Yeah,
Madam Mayor, Mr. Council, we received two bids for residential trash collection for a three-year contract and one-year optional. We're due on the 5th of April at 4 p.m. We received bids from two qualified firms. Big Time Trash is currently providing the service, and GFL Environmental, who is out of Millsboro, Delaware. For all 3 years in the optional year, Big Time bid $17.98 per month per pickup point, and this was at 1,150 pickup points for an annual total of $248,124. This includes replacing all the residential trash cans in the first year. This also represents the lowest bid. GFL came in with a tiered bid for the first year of being $17.50 a month per pickup point for an annual total in the first year of $241,500, and that also includes all new cans in the first year. Their second year annual total was $253,575, third year was $266,253, and the fourth year was $279,566. Staff recommends we accept the Big Time Trash bid and ask Mayor and Council to direct the town attorney to initiate contract discussions with the same for pending further discussion, provide directions of staff.
Do you guys have
and all the documentation is attached.
Comments?
No, I'm at, for the last, was it 6 months? I don't know how long it's been now. Everything seems to be going good. Mm-hmm. They're the cheaper, the two quotes. I can't imagine why we would do anything different, so.
I would agree.
I've personally been very happy with that.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, you guys are doing a great job. We appreciate it.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? Are we accepting $248,124 as a lump sum, or are we accepting $17.98 a month per pickup point?
It's the same. They've got a bill monthly.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We also talk about apartments coming off of our stuff and this, that, and the other. Let's say it ends up being 900 pickup points. Are we at 900 times 1798 a month?
We're at pickup point per unit.
So it's not necessarily the total 248.
Today it is, right, but
right.
Not correct.
Okay, that's what I just want to make sure.
Oh, it's been in 3 years, and they wind up being 1300.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm with you.
We're 900.
Okay. All right. Seeing that, I will take a motion to accept the bid from Big Time Trash and direct the town attorney to initiate the contract discussion.
I'll make a motion. We accept a bid of $248,124 from Big Time Trash and direct the town attorney to initiate contract discussions.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Great. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. You guys do a great job.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's nice to bring my trash can in as I go to work.
Yeah, I know. I know. I passed you all when I'm rolling out to Annapolis
in
the morning.
It's nice to have a reliable service.
That's for sure. Amen to that. Okay, next we have the Town Code for Ordinance Chapter 158, Rental Housing, Review, and Possible Text Amendment.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Town manager.
Do you mean to do that?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, with the council, if you scroll all the way up to page 39, and in fact, this will apply the text for section 158 of the town code. And the purpose of this is a general review of the specific what we're looking at are the issues of inspection and licensing. And really in specific, but the trust our attorney will give us some information on this 158-5, the revocation or denial of license for those who don't pulling that license, or for those who find themselves in violation of the license. So that's where we are.
Thank you.
As far as the specific priority right now, so it's, you know, it is a, this isn't an extensive, a four or five page section. So as much as we need to review it over time, we will. But otherwise, the revocation, 158.5 and 158.9, which is the fee, which is the violations and penalties, all of what are specifically considering. I know this has been a topic of discussion with our code enforcement officer and our attorney, so I'm sure county attorney will provide some more insight on that.
Yeah, so code enforcement officer and I had a conversation about providing notice to rentals. So this allows for periodic inspections, but it doesn't necessarily tie an inspection to a rental license. So in other municipalities, you have a license that is issued upon getting an approved inspection. So MDIA would come in, do the inspection, say that it's passed, and then you go to the town office for your license. It also allows you to revoke a license if you, for some reason, fail the inspection. With what we have right now, he can require periodic inspections, but there's no legal enforcement to revoke the license. You can only fine them. So if you make the inspection part of the issuance of the license, then that gives them further leverage to actually revoke the license.
So the one thing that I think we need to also deal with is when people do not pay their rental fees, they're continuing to rent. We need to deal with that. And I would like to maybe see if there's, is there anything that we can do with the number of times police report to specific rentals, if there could be something attached to the number of calls attached to rental units. Just to maybe make the person that's doing the renting.
So it's more like a, if it becomes a
nuisance
property.
Nuisance,
yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the one you said right before that?
The if they don't pay their rental
license.
Okay.
What is,
like,
what are the ramifications?
Well, at that point, the license would expire. It wouldn't be renewed.
Well, in some cases, they're not even paying it.
That's what
and then
I'm
the question is, like, then, but you have it, they have a tenant, they've actively rented it.
Right.
So then,
now they're renting without a license.
And that's
right.
A failure.
Yes.
Yes.
So, what then, how do we proceed? What are our.
So it's $1,000 a day, and every day it proceeds is a subsequent offense. They get a citation.
Does that say that in this?
He says $100 for the first infraction, $200 for each.
Well, we should increase that. But the so then it would be, instead of the regular municipal infraction fee of $1,000, which is, I'm sorry, what the rest of the town code is, it would be $100 a day and then $200 for each day. That so every day that they would continue to rent it without a license for failure to pay.
Okay.
They would be subject to $100 for the first and then $200.
Okay.
Who do we do inspections now?
I think it's periodic. Is it annual?
No, I say who's doing inspections?
The department.
Okay.
First state.
Sorry, I said, I probably threw you off there.
The answer is both, depending on what you're talking about. Rentals is first state.
What authority do we have? Somebody's renting an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
No, for a fact they are. They said they're not.
So your code.
So what can we do? How do we prove that?
What evidence do we have that they?
I see them coming out of the house in the morning, taking the trash out of the house.
But
and it's not the
and
owner
they're saying
of the
it's
house.
Vacant.
Yeah, it was caught on fire and it's being redone. But some of it, since it's caught on fire, there's not been the occupancy permit issued.
Mm-hmm.
The owner mm-hmm. says nobody's living there.
I mean, if
but
we.
But I see them all the time coming out the front door.
Me
and
too.
The lights chained
is
to
this the.
The
same property you guys
yes,
were both
is.
Talking about?
Yes, because I've been keeping track of it and taking pictures.
So your code enforcement officer, through the property maintenance code, has search authority, provided that there's probable cause. Can you take pictures?
No, I have pictures. Mm-hmm. And there's probably actually video.
So
that
we do
can get.
It with probable cause. He can go in and
he can
perform
okay.
an inspection.
That's why I wasn't sure. I didn't know mm-hmm. if he had calls.
Yeah, it's in the property maintenance code, and I can send him the specific question because we've had this come up in other instances. Okay, so failure to pay the fee, a nuisance, tying the license to
the fine.
Tying the inspection to the license.
Right, and then not paying the license and continuing the fine for continuing to rent
mm-hmm.
after
without
your
license
has been revoked or without
mm-hmm.
a license.
Okay.
158.6 says you must apply for renewal at least 60 days prior to the expiration of the license. What if you don't?
We send out a notification letter in January.
Right.
And then typically pretty generous follow-up with middle of March, end of March. So I think the second round of letters are gone out.
But what's the renewal date?
January 1.
They're all January 1.
So if somebody starts to rent a property in like September, right, and they come and apply, they pay the rental fee for the whole year, or is it
for the like calendar year?
No,
it's prorated for.
They pay the rental fee for the whole year because they don't need to get an inspection in January if the place has already been inspected in September. Because the rental inspection is only every 3 years. The rental license is every year.
So their September license would expire when?
And three years follow up.
No, not the inspection, the license, the annual license.
1 year.
So
in September, though.
Only in September.
No. It's by January 1.
So it's only good for the calendar
right.
year.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That would be easier for bookkeeping,
right.
which is why I was asking.
Right.
That,
right.
I guess
okay.
my thing is, so,
January 1.
So if they, I guess they technically expire 12/31 then.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, cool. So 60 days prior is October.
So
they're still renting by March.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a big fine.
They're 3 months without a license at $200 a day.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's always been done, which is not a good answer, is January and reminder in March.
Can
which
we
could just as easily be October
yeah.
and reminder in
I think I'd rather
January
see
20th.
That.
Well, I'd say the January reminder states, starting today, you will be charged X amount of dollars per day that your license is not renewed.
To the best of my knowledge, because I've sent out that letter myself, along with between code officers. To the best of my knowledge, that renewal letter does not speak to a violation section in the town code.
Does that rental license? It's good for a year, regardless of how many tenants occupy that dwelling,
yeah.
or is it each individual tenant?
No, it's, well,
it's
like
how many units? Each unit, yeah.
It's each unit. If you're renting a duplex, it's.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying, let's say.
It's 70 units, it's all 70.
Yeah, okay, but. Yeah, but they only pay it for one, just that 1 year
correct.
Covers all that. Okay.
But does that transfer when a piece of property has been sold? I'm just curious. Okay.
I wouldn't think that it should, but who knows?
Right. Anything else we'd like to pile into that? Your two pages just went to five.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I think we definitely need to fix the letter so that it includes the violation and penalty section.
Mm-hmm.
So they have plenty of notice.
But as of now, we inspect every 3 years.
Correct.
Okay.
And that to me is an arbitrary number as well.
It is.
So ballpark 620 rentals on any given year. So ballpark, we're doing 200 or so inspections in any given year.
Anybody have anything else on that one? Okay, next we have the fiscal year 2023-2024 draft budget update and review. Town Manager Drake.
Yeah, Madam Mayor of the Council, as the budget process continues to move forward, has progress. This is the debt service and the revenue portion of the budget. The expenditure side and detailed presentation from Chief McDermott on the police budget and amended. So this is what we've got. On the revenue side, we're putting the revenues for the 23-24 fiscal year within the context of the 2020 and 2021 fiscal year budget. So unless we know for certain that the revenues are going to be higher this year, and we know they are going to be higher based on the assessor's office with the constant yield. We know the highway user fund revenues are going to be higher, and we know the two new revenue sources from 2021, the speed cameras and the sale of the solar credits are going to generate revenue that wasn't anticipated at that point in time. What we've got is a revenue forecast that basically looks like three fiscal years ago, as a method of keeping spending in check. We're going to have to accommodate changes in the cost of personnel, and obviously we're going to have to accommodate our debt service. Everything else is going to need to be within a finite, constrained level of spending, and there's reasons why staff is proposing that. First one, knock off the bat, just straight up. Total debt service payments across all funds from July 1, 2023 to June 30, 2024, $774,131.81, which constitutes an expenditure of 16.595% of all projected revenues for the fiscal year. The fiscal year ended June 30, 2022, audited, which is the auditor was here, last month, the debt service payment was $774,497. So, going into every fiscal year, the standard pay is ballpark $750,000 of paying off our credit card bills. After that, we get into the constant yield. And that's line 100, 1,000 on page 1. It remains constant at 88 cents per $100 of assessed value. The constant yield would be reduced to 85.5 cents to maintain the current revenue stream. The current tax rate of 88 cents on the 100 with the new assessment only yields an additional $41,159 over the term fiscal year based on the current assessments. So, that's not an awful lot of growth. That's about a 2.8% growth in our tax base, which is one of the reasons. The debt is obviously a constant, but one of the other reasons why we need to constrain our spending is because our growth isn't high. Our growth, typically has been under the goal of 4%. Remember, ARPA back when in the interim rule, that 4.1% growth as an expectation of natural, the better. And that includes residential as well as commercial and industrial, but we just haven't seen that. So that's where we are. The cell tower lease, which generated $15,150 or so dollars, it now shows zero, and that's based on the expected sale of the lease before the end of the fiscal year. But if not, still, it'll be soon into the summer. The highway user fund revenues from the state shows an estimate of $153,563.94. About $121,000 of that goes to pay off debt as well. So that's what we're left over with as far as having money to highway user fund money to fix roads. So that's why we patch instead of completely repaid. Building department license fee and inspection fees represent a pass-through to the contractor. So if those are increased, that's a user pays. That's not a burden on anybody else unless we need that rental license inspection. And staff's going to be proposing that that does increase from $100 to $120 for precisely some of the reasons we've spoken about, including the increase of police presence on some of these properties. So that's yet to come, but again, if you don't need it, you don't pay for it. Residential trash collection to the tune of big times, what, $248,124, also represents a pass-through to the contractor. So we're not really spending any money on the town end as far as that trash collection is concerned because outside contractors taking care of it. The monthly residential solid waste collection and disposal fee is proposed at $17.98 per unit to recover the full cost of the service. Keep in mind that in that first year, that includes a new trash can, which ballpark trash can is $95.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the rate for collection built in with the $95 trash can replacement for everybody who's got a trash can. The wastewater and water connection charges show an increase this year as well, from the current $3,500 to proposed $5,000 per each connection. That's the cost of doing business. If you've already got this done, you don't need to pay it again. If you're building a new home, building a new facility that needs a connection to the water and sewer service, is the cost of doing business because it's a pass along. Our costs have gone up as well. Whether that's the town staff doing it or whether we take it up to the contractor, yes.
Can we go back to that one?
Yeah.
Right. So we recently had a problem with that price, right? It wasn't enough to cover. Right. So should it be?
Yeah, but that price, I have a problem with that price.
I'm just asking, like, so should there be, like, if there's extenuating circumstances and we end up paying the contractor more because of whatever, right, reason that we're not, again, getting stuck with the bill, that's the only thing I'm worried about. Like, should we put something in there where there is, if there's an issue that is, you know, on the owner's property and is preventing and, you know, backup needs to be called in, this is, you know, maybe it's the bill of the contract. I don't know. Right. Just maybe it's just that's something that concerns me. I mean, and I don't know how many properties there are that are like that, right? So.
And again, in fairness to the both property owner and contractor, you would expect that the town staff has already sorted that out. You know, when you come to 322 Maple Avenue, understand you're going to run into this issue. Well, if it's somebody else putting in the connection, and staff hasn't sorted out 322 Maple Avenue has got this issue, and it runs up being another $10,000. I don't know how we say, you know, well, we've got to pass that along. I mean, to me, that's an oversight on the part of the town staff. Town staff, before they either begin the work themselves or pass it along to the contractors, should have an understanding of what that scope of work is. And if it's a rare circumstance where that scope of work is high, maybe we need to have language in the ordinance that says any other, as determined by, or
right,
as determined by our engineer.
Right.
Because the idea of, oh, all of a sudden, what contractor A thought he could do for $9,000, contractor B decides to do for $20,000.
Right.
And we go with contractor B.
Right.
It's how we got into this mess in the first place.
Right.
You know?
Right.
One town staff should be able to know the difference of what the issue is before the connection is made.
Right.
none of this stuff is all that surprising. I mean, there aren't that many troublesome lots in town. So I don't know what we ran into with that lot or why it ran up the bill that the way it ran up.
Okay.
Don't know.
Okay.
But, again, it's if our guys missed it, that shouldn't be on the property owner. It should be on the contractor.
Thank you.
Just and again, it shouldn't be a free service, right? I mean, this again is the cost of doing business. This isn't expensive. This is $10,500 for a water and sewer connection, which isn't expensive relative to what others are charging. So, but it was a bargain when it was $5,000, which it was just 2 years ago. Total operational revenue forecast across all funds is $4,664,789.94. And not capital projects, this is all operations. That's what we need to live within. So the following pages, and of course, pending further discussion, provide direction to staff. I will have the expenditure side of the budget, as well as the few capital projects I think we can get through next year, available for the May 1st meeting. Also, we're still waiting on decisions from external funding. So maybe we pave $2 million worth of roads, maybe we put in $4 million worth of pump stations. Maybe we don't. Yet that's all yet to be determined. So if there's anything about any of the specific lines, I'm happy to have that discussion. Some of this is on the conservative side. I'm looking specifically at income taxes, which I believe were at $105,000 this year.
Okay.
And we budget 90 for conservative purposes. So if that runs 105 and we budget 90, doesn't really look for an excuse to spend $15,000. The reserves that have taken a beating over the years deserve to have some of that money put back. So it's a relatively conservative approach to keep spending at previous year's levels, and to make clear that in those instances where we do see this surplus, that surplus needs to go into depleted reserves. We've got to put money back in the bank. It's got to be a priority.
Sounds good to me.
Do you guys have any comments or thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. No, nothing down here.
All right, so we'll do the expenses on the next go round, and I mean, it is what it is, unless we can start getting some extra growth to help us get the tax base. That would be great.
By the way, I have a warning. Assessments are supposed to go up next year. So we will see what that translates into. I had a number quoted to me, which is probably based in data. I will just believe it when I see it. That's all I can say. So until then, you know, we live within our means.
Yep. Means no street, no leaf sucker.
Yeah.
No leaf sucker. I told him that.
I know.
We told him.
Yeah, right, we did. We already forewarned him.
But that's actually not a bad deal. If it's 260, you go to USDA grants and loans, you get $50,000 off the top, and then you got to finance another $200. I mean, it's more debt. But you got a street sweeper for the next 6-7 years.
Right. Well, and if we could sell our street sweeper, then. But it's not. So we have a functioning one now, so
yeah.
We don't need anything.
Well, yeah, and I didn't really put like yard sale stuff in here. I mean, if you sell the trash truck, even if you sell it to the contractor, that's a little bit of revenue coming in. If you sell that undersized lot, that's a little bit of revenue coming in. So again, it's not going to change the world, but you know, you pick up $20,000-$30,000 a year, it makes up for a Christmas Day water line break.
Yes.
We're going to all get new trash cans, right? If the old ones are still good, do they get resold or just trashed?
They probably would not trash them, but I know we have some of the ones that are broke, they've replaced.
And some of the ones we use for town functions. Like, so there are some that are sitting around town that are cracked and need to be replaced, so they probably would swap those out for the ones that are cracked. Or put extra ones so that they get used, like at the marina or wherever.
Okay, well, I didn't know. You know, I thought, why waste it, you know?
No, that's a good question. We'll have to double check with them. What they, if they replace them, do they, I mean, we paid for them, the town paid for them.
I was going to say, they're ours.
Yep,
yeah,
we own them.
They're ours, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that's a good question.
Now, is that for residential trash cans, like our trash cans at home?
Yes,
your wheel trash can.
Okay, because we purchased those ourselves, but would they replace those? That's what I'm asking. Like,
had you purchased a replacement one?
Yeah, I think we've purchased a few since we've lived there.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have two trash cans, and one of them is just about not a trash can anymore. It needs to be replaced.
Right.
So would they replace it with theirs?
So are they only replacing the ones that are broken, or are they replacing everyone?
Everybody's.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the black, if you see, like, out in the county.
Oh, it says Big Time on the side?
Big Time.
Right.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is, what happens with the trash cans that we paid for?
Which is the second can, right? Most people, the only reason they paid for it, they got the second.
No,
second
we had to buy both.
You had to buy both?
Yeah. Well, what it is, when we purchased our house, there wasn't a trash can anywhere on the property. And we came here, and they said, no, this is your trash can, and gave us a number. I'm like, well, we don't have that trash can. So we had to buy another trash can, and then we needed a second trash can, so we had to buy the third trash can.
Okay, because the town paid for one per household, and then anybody that needed an additional, but the person that you bought the house from took your trash can.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we'll tell you, since we're talking about this, correct me if I'm wrong, Big Time Trash will not pick up two cans moving forward without charging him twice now, right?
Yeah, same with the town.
Right. Well, we pay for it.
Right.
You're paying for two now?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you were. I just wanted to make sure you were aware you were going
to
be
paying for two.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Anyone with two was supposed
to. Okay, I did not realize that the town was charging for two.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't either. I recycle, so I only put my trash out maybe twice a month. Do they charge me every week anyway?
Correct.
Or just, why not just twice a month? If they're charging him for two, why not me for just two in a month?
Because it's based on the month. And trust me, I'm one guy, and I don't...
I'm one
gal,
and I recycle,
yeah,
so I don't even...
I recycle also, and I literally sometimes I have one bag of trash out
right.
per week.
Yeah,
but
and I don't bother putting it out if it's just one.
To answer that, though, we could never have anybody bid on that if they did not know how many units that they were going to be able to collect for every week. Because say there was 50 of you in town that didn't put out. If they lost 50 every week, that would throw their whole financial off, and that's why you will be billed every week, you know.
Whether I use it or not.
Yes.
Yeah, and the thing to think about is it's also the what matters at the
counting nightmare.
Some less of a frequency. Because there are some people who can put out some pretty weighty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like sand and construction debris shouldn't be in the trash can,
right.
But a black bag hides a lot.
It does.
So that becomes a weight issue over there where the hauler is paying the weight, but he's not necessarily paying frequency.
Are these poor guys for 10 years have to roll these cans out and dump it themselves instead of having a trash can with an arm to flip it over?
But that's their
choice.
That's
their choice.
Our truck is available for purchase, and they can buy our truck if they want. But that's their choice.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Huh?
We still have it.
Yeah, we still have it.
We still have it, but it had a mess of problems and was costing us a lot of money to keep it on the road.
More than a contract?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
One year, we spent $80,000 on repairs. In 1 year, we spent $80,000 to repair the trash truck.
And you remember when
we
went
budget
for a week or so without trash pickup because it was in the shop. And
We remember those.
Yeah, yes. So thankfully, we've had regular pickups every week, knock on wood.
Whether I need it or not.
That's right. I'm with you on that one for sure.
Their contract, not just running that truck, they don't have the dump bill because that's on the contract. That's the end of the contract. That is right.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ought to sell. What about selling our truck?
It's for sale.
It's for sale. If anybody wants it.
But to give you an idea, that particular year, that last year we did it, the town ate the $80,000. We didn't pass it on to the homeowner. If we had, you would have been billed for another whole quarter of trash. So, I mean, in 1 year, we ate up five quarters of revenue with that $80,000. It's not sustainable to do that.
Right.
And that's where the contractor is reliable. If their truck breaks down, they've got another one.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like we should take a break.
I feel you. All right, you need more trash talk?
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
We haven't had trash talk in
no
a while.
No more dump trash talk. I know we haven't had trash talk in a while. All right, next we have the community development block grant discussion with ARPA funding. Town Manager Derek.
Yeah, I'm Mayor and Mayor of the Council. So there's about $620,000 ballpark in the community development block grant for the small business development loan program. That's a program that goes back, if they say 25 years, I believe, it does go back a good long period of time and was a particular approach to economic development, which was to take prospects that were perhaps not bank credit worthy for a number of reasons, either fair or unfair, and to make municipalities, towns, cities, and counties funding sources. And federal work is participating in that. You'll win some, you'll lose some, and certainly that fund has had some successes well known and pointed out, and some failures well known and pointed out. Including 115, 117 building, North Main Street building. So there's the opportunity discussed with Department of Housing and Community Development, which is the agency that has responsibility for the community development block grants, to repurpose that small business development loan into a general community development facilities, community development block grant, which could be used for a wide range of things. Town hall, fire station, public safety building, town dump, paving town streets. So what we've looked at is the option of taking a sum of money from the revolving loan and converting that into a general facilities community development block grant and looking for something to spend it on, or a number of things, projects, wanted to spend it on, eligible projects. The parallel track, which is attached to the staff report, is the congressionally directed spending program that was reactivated by Congress several years ago after having been dormant for a good 10, 15 years. And the application, the town put in two applications. One application was for a street paving and some curb and gutter here and there. And the $4.3 million for the completely rebuild the two sanitary sewer pump stations. There's been a positive response on the street paving. Now, the street paving, that's also included as an attachment with the congressionally directed spending report. And again, all three of our federal representatives, so the two senators and Congressman Harris's office, all received the same submittal, granted at various times in the process. But if you've read one from the town, you've read them all, they all say the same thing, keep the story straight. But it lays out what the Phase 1 and Phase 2 street paving look like. Steve Diet, back in 2017, did an inventory of all the town streets. That was presented over time, and there was the funding available, et cetera.
Okay.
That's ballpark $820,000. Phase two, so of course I asked, well, if we're spending $800,000 out of a total of $2.26 million, do we get any credit for that? And the credit is you get a pat on the back. You're responsible for your ARPA funding, but you don't get a pat on the back or credit for any kind of match. So the program that we fit into is U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development Community Facilities, which, as structured, we qualify for as an 80-20 match. So 80% of them, 20% for us. And that phase two funding comes to, I believe, it's just under $1,440,000. $1,439,000 and some change. And for the benefit of the crowd, digitally and otherwise, I'll just read what those phase two projects are. Brooklyn Avenue, general condition of mobilization, asphalt milling, 2-inch base paving, 1.5-inch surface paving, along with contingency for all of Brooklyn Avenue comes in $413,000. Girardi Boulevard, same thing, 2-inch base paving, 1.5-inch surface paving, with a 10% contingency comes in at $390,000. $390,733. Maple Avenue comes in at 2-inch base paving. Now, of course, not the section of Maple Avenue that was paved 2 years ago. This is 300 block unpaved. It's seriously deteriorated. 2-inch base paving, 1.5-inch surface paving, 10% contingency. Total cost, $231,660. Morris Avenue, and this also includes milling, base paving, and surface paving. 10% contingency, $194,981. And then Holt Street comes in at $209,266 for the rest of that. Again, 10% contingency, 2-inch base milling, base paving, surface paving of 1.5-inch. So, and that contingency is at 10% complete across everything, so it's a hefty contingency. Engineer doesn't believe that we're going to run into 10% contingency on every stretch of street, so that $1,439,000 and some change may not actually wind up being $1,439,000 and some change. But for the purpose of submittal and budget preparation, that's what it looks like. Match would be $288,000, which I'd like to be able to say if I can just write the check. But there are reasons why we can't just write the check. Now, one of the up bright side is community development block grant funds, and there's been a discussion back and forth on this to get that straight. Department of Housing and Community Development, the state level, uses community development block grant funds to match federal funds. You can't use ARPA funds because that's federal. And federal funds can't match federal funds, but CDPG money can match USDA. So, again, without selling assets or depleting our reserves any more than they've been depleted, when the goal this fiscal year is to start putting money back in the bank, is to take some of that repurposed small business development revolving loan fund money, basically half of it, and a little bit less than that, and put that towards the match for streets, ballpark after the water meters are done, and after phase one, the street paving is done, we'll have about $200,000 left in ARPA that we can pretty much do anything with except pay off debt and pay lawyers. We can't use it for lawsuits. And we can't use it for federal match, but if you do some other good things with $200,000, it has to be spent by December 31st of next year. So it remains, $620,000 take out 288 if that's a meaningful purpose. It still leaves about $325,000 back in a revolving loan fund for use maybe as DHCD would approve, and as Mayor and Council see fit to ask. So that's where we are. All part, but none of this may ever be spent, by the way. Just saying.
Well, it would be nice if we can use it for the streets. I think that would be a huge help.
I'm not a resident of Fentonsburg, but an idea. If you're looking for federal kickbacks, there are permeable paving surfaces that will help with your stormwater reduction and things of that nature that usually they do give kickbacks for. Like paved drain roads, yeah. they've been tested that you can drive tractor trailers over them for years at this point, and it's not damaging the road surface at all. So that might help you guys out some if you looked into that kind of paving surface that are just redoing millings all the time.
Yeah, and thank you for that. I think that's really the smart way to go with parking lots in the future.
Because
there's no reason we just pile asphalt upon asphalt upon asphalt on parking lots when at the end of the day you've got that doesn't drink water anymore.
Yeah, because the marina is like that. Yeah,
right.
You can.
The only problem that you will run into, make sure you do your research fully, because some permeable surfaces you have to maintain every 3 to 6 months. Some of them you don't have to ever maintain.
We definitely want the no contain. For sure. Thank you.
So, Larry, this is the street paving earmark where our match is potentially 288K.
Right.
And then the pump station earmark.
We can't afford it.
Right. That match is 600 and something.
800
and something.
Now, we also haven't been, and that's the thing, that's why there's no capital in the budget right now, because May sometime we should be hearing from NBE. Now, my expectation is we're going to finish middle of the pack again as far as NBE funding is concerned. But, you know, you've got to be optimistic. If NBE comes across with all the funding, 100% funding, then we don't need to worry about an earmark, directive spending match for anything on the pump station. Pump stations kind of run their own parallel track at this point compared to the streets. I think we got the streets, relatively speaking, under control, but the 80-20 anywhere for the town for those $4.3 million is going to be an issue. Now, the bright side is community development block grant could be used at that match, but we'd have to go through the process of pulling another community development block grant.
So we would apply for a grant
for
the match. For the year.
That's an option. and that does not put more debt on the town.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's my goal.
Right.
We did have that conversation with Secretary Day when he was here about, like, we kept putting in for MD, and it seemed like the priority for their list was more nutrient management. And since we're already in the nutrient management, we're all doing well with that. The pump stations haven't qualified, but yet if the pump stations fail, we have a whole other problem. So,
yeah.
We expressed that problem, and it was kind of like the catch 22, right? Our aging pump system is what's feeding our well running sewer system up there for the wastewater treatment plant, but we need the pumps to continue to push it upstream.
I guess my question would be, if they came through with a 80% match of their grant for $4.4 million, do we use the $300,000 from the cell tower sale to get it done while we have the $3.4 million given to us?
I don't know. We'd have to see if we could add up everything and couch cushions,
correct.
Right? So
I mean,
add up to 800.
Quick math: if we had 200 from ARPA, you're going to have 300 from.
We can't use 200 from ARPA.
I'm doing the quick math.
You're right.
What was the cell tower?
300. So it would be about 200 short without using that for that.
Yeah.
If we drain community block and use 315 from the thing, we'd be at 687. So we'd be 200,000 short.
Which you could do another CDBG grant for
Maryland the council. And
right.
$200,000 is relatively.
I think that would be easier to find.
Right. They don't notice that. As I was told, you know, they have $10 million they need to spend in a year.
So the discussion for tonight is, do is are we getting out of the community rural block grant loan business, or are we just asking for $288,000 to come off?
That's a question on the table.
Okay.
Is that our say? CDBG just wants us out?
They wouldn't have an issue with us making that request. We're not going to be directed to do so, but at the same time, statewide they've recognized that the small business development, that this program over the years really hasn't met the goals that it was intended to meet. And it's not just us. It's not just federal work.
It's also overhead on their staff.
Yeah,
the reports have to be filed, the tracking down, making sure people are not in violation of what they're loaning money for. So I can see why they would like it to go away.
Right.
And we do still have the two outstanding loans that could be kept on that fund as it gets paid back, right? So that you have a small portion if for some reason it was needed.
And again, bright side is if it helps on the way, and we know it helps on another way from a new CDBG, if we have the cash flow, I'll say $400,000 from the sale of 115, 117, and the cell tower. As long as helps on the way, it's another thing of cash flow, but you know, we'll do it. If CDBG is not coming our way, then you know, spending down the one-time sale of a capital asset's risky. I mean, I'd rather have $300,000 in the bank and not spend it, but also to have it if we needed to spend it, rather than just say, well, pay the streets with it. Because you got the match. I mean, on multiple levels, you got the match. You know? The question for the small business development, though, is, you know, again, we've got winemaking equipment and buildings as loan collateral. And, you know, if you're going to be small loans, you know, vehicles, I think that's fine. But if we're looking for, you know, six-figure loans and the collateral is another building, I can't tell you that the town needs to own another building that somebody's defaulted a loan on.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
115, 117 is a money pit. It's a four-time loser as far as taxpayers are concerned. You know? And you're not going to recruit what was put into it.
If we were not in the community, I butcher this name every time, I think, because I'm not reading it. Mm-hmm. If we were not in this loan program business, and a prospective business came to the town and said, we want to locate, we want to do this, we want to do that, if the town was in good financial health, is there anything that would stop us from engaging in a CD, that thing, like agreement with that business to bring them here?
No, I mean, we have to, you know, move forward with it as its own separate entity.
Right.
The benefit of having
is that it's their money,
cash money.
I get it. No, I get that. I get that.
Right.
So this is really a strategic decision about how to use this money right now, and not really a decision that says that we would never, ever, ever again help a business that's coming to town.
I disagree that the state isn't helpful.
I'm not saying that.
The state isn't helpful. I think we brought enough people here from the State Department of Commerce.
Right.
They figure out a way to help.
But there's nothing that
and
stops
that
us from entering into a loan agreement with a prospective business as a municipal government.
Yeah.
We could.
Yes, there's nothing to stop
lots
you from doing
that. Lots
of
reasons why
that.
We shouldn't.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, there is nothing to stop you from doing
but
that.
But we could.
Yes. You would still
so,
have the ability to do
so
that.
So getting out of this program does not stop us from being able to help a prospective business in the future should our financial situation make that a prudent call.
That's
right.
An accurate statement.
It simply says that we're going to free this money up now to use it for things we need now.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we would be able to tell our residents that we have spent through ARPA and a potential earmark that comes through, we're looking at $2.25 million in street paving.
Without adding debt.
Without adding debt.
Taxes.
Yep.
And without depleting reserves.
So would someone explain to me the downside?
I can't.
I can.
Okay, then I make a motion. Well, I get that.
It's a two-year process. ARPA this year.
But the 800,000 starting when? Like any time, right?
Hope so.
Yeah.
This hopefully in the late summer, yeah. That's the goal.
Right, because the weather's warmed up now.
Right.
Yeah.
They're making concrete now, right?
Right. Or asphalt. Asphalt. So.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And technically, we're not cashing out. We're asking them to repurpose it into a different program for eligible uses.
Correct.
We're not giving money back. We're just
right.
asking them to be able to spend it
right.
differently than the program we're in.
Right, because what was made clear from DHT in the first place was that this can't become cash.
Right.
Okay.
It can become, you know, grant eligible for other
right.
eligible expenditures.
So Rob has a motion on the table to move forward. Is that what you're getting ready?
I don't
yet. Oh, okay. Are you figuring out the wording?
I am. But here's the other thing. If we get out of this business, $600,000+ comes. They can't be used as cash.
Correct.
So do we immediately need a budget for the other $372,000?
I don't know the answer to that. My impression is that, Mayor, correct me, my impression is that DHCD would like to see this off the books done.
Yes.
But to Scott's point, if the earmark ferry comes with the pump stations and we magically need that then as a match for pump stations to help get us there, are we allowed to kind of hold
it? You're still not close. We're still
200.
No, I get that, but that's when we talk about 200 was walking money, right? That's
right.
What we were, right?
Yes, if the earmark ferry came with the pump
right.
station
so
supply, then
so
we can essentially
can't,
turn that
it around. Can't be cash, but we can keep it over here until we get a decision on our pump station earmark.
Yes.
Right? We can't pay down debt with it.
Yeah.
That's an excluded use.
Oh. Yep.
Yes.
Right.
So, okay.
So they don't want to loan you money or pay off money you're already looking at.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a credit card to take a cash advance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Your other credit card.
So, so I make a motion that we work with community development to repurpose the loan program into another appropriate use. Is that what I'm doing? That's
yes.
That's what I'm doing. Go ahead.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Because I didn't.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion passes. So hopefully we get positive news all the way around that.
Did everybody hear that? There's a potential for $2.25 million in street paving. Did everybody hear that? Everybody heard that?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the number one issue.
I hope it comes in 10% under that. And then
that would be awesome.
We're that much better off.
With no debt and no one's taxes going up.
Right.
Did everybody hear that? Okay, cool. Got
yes.
It.
Tell your friends.
So on Facebook, when people go, what about the streets?
Right.
2.2.
This is what we're going for.
Well, 820,000 for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, no debt and the complete reserve.
Now, speaking of that 800,000, I thought that included patches to Brooklyn. Us doing.
Yeah, it does include. It's a little bit more than patches. It's
well, yes, but I use that term, yeah. Which. If we're moving forward with phase two, we don't have to spend that money in phase one.
Opens up about 90,000.
That's what I was wondering, how much?
Okay.
So there's half of the 200 we needed for the pump station. So now find the next. Now find
another 10,000.
We're almost there, Larry.
There you go. There's your walking around money. Call your friends for your walking around money for the.
We'll be checking our
account.
This rate. Park.
Privatize the slip. Yeah, about it.
You need a slip to privatize.
Well, that's true. That is true.
All right.
Next, we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Oh, I would like to recognize Brian Gaddett. I was sitting in the backyard and I noticed Brian with a trash bag walking down the riprap picking up trash. And I thought that was really impressive.
He was also picking up at Chambers Park the other night.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wanted to, can you get me his address so I can send him a thank you note? I'm going to send him a thank you note for Chambers Park, but I'll add the river walk also.
All right, that was it. Thank you.
Councilwoman Sol?
I have a couple of things. Hopefully everyone has seen the Pinwheel Garden out here on Main Street at the Men for Change Garden. That is to bring awareness to child abuse. A bunch of us gathered back on the 6th to
plant the pinwheels. But since then, Amy Horn, who's the executive director of CASA, has given me, there was an art project in all of the county schools, so she's given the town a bunch of artwork from Federalsburg Elementary and the high school and middle school, with hopes that we could display them somewhere. I was wondering if we could put them in 115, 117 in the window there. And I'm happy to hang them. I mean, I'm not asking you guys to do it. But I thought that would be a nice place to display them and people can see them. So, and I don't know if anyone's had a chance or had a chance to go to the Arts Council, to the Foundry, but they had other, they had some Colonel representation there as well. But they took down all the art in the whole foundry and put up a whole art display of these pinwheels. It was actually very moving, very powerful to see all of that. So, I also wanted to make sure everyone was aware of the Collective Impact Community Convening Meeting, which will be on Wednesday, April 26th at 5:30 up at Chambers Park in Lyons Hall. Dinner is provided, so they're asking for people to RSVP. But this is the culmination of a year-long series of meetings that have been held throughout the county, and the ultimate goal is to strengthen the community and to build household stability, and so they'll be sort of sharing the results and doing some further brainstorming. And then finally, on Friday the 28th at 10:30, the Lions Club is having their first sandwich sale of the season. And that, we're changing locations. We're going to be having that up at Lions Hall in Chambers Park. So I invite you guys to come out and enjoy lunch.
That was it. River cleanup? Lions Club?
Yes, that is on the 28th.
8th, 29th, whether it's the last Saturday.
I know, we've
29th,
changed it so many
Earth
times.
Day, yeah, the last, it's the last Saturday.
Yes. Saturday the 29th, Lions Club will be doing an Earth Day river cleanup. We're meeting at the marina at 9 a.m.
And I'm going to, I'll create a Facebook event on that, and I will share it on the town page in case kids need
learning service hours.
I will tell you that is the date of Colonel's prom, so.
Oh, well, all right, they get nine to, you know.
We can get the middle schoolers.
Yeah,
they
that's
need
true, yeah.
Service hour. But
you got a time on that, Debbie?
On the cleanup?
Yes,
ma'am. Yes, it is 9 o'clock at the marina. Mm-hmm. Bring gloves and tongs or whatever. There's some
pretty
dirty
we'll
things we'll be picking up.
Boots. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
That's it for me.
Thank you. Councilman Phillips?
Planning and zoning still scheduled for next Tuesday. All right. And Bloomingdale, is it R1 or R2? Do we know?
Where that on Bloomingdale?
Trapnels.
R1.
It is R1. We need to pay close attention because there is a contract on that house now.
Even
before
with the fire?
After the fire.
As of 9 o'clock this morning, there was a contract on the house. Rather, it goes through or not, I do not know. But and also, we need to make sure that house is boarded up. When I rode through yesterday, the front door was open at one point, then it was closed. I don't know how hard it was closed, but we might want to get Nate kind of make sure it's boarded up good because there was doors opened up when I rode through yesterday.
It was closed when I went by.
It was closed when I came by today, too.
Yeah, part of the fence has
been
toppled over,
yeah,
too.
So. Yeah, we just need to keep an eye on that then to make sure all of a sudden we don't see advertisements for three apartments in our one section. So
great.
I guess that was it.
Thank you. Councilman Wilby?
I saw a Facebook post was up about the water and sewer plant and it coming in under quota or limit or whatever.
Nutrient management limit.
Yep. So because that happened, because Public Works did that, just so everybody hears, that was a $30,000 grant awarded to the town to be used for their water and sewer system. Just because our guys do what they're supposed to do and are pretty good at it. So congratulations to them for doing that. I also saw, I know we talked about this at a previous meeting, but that the house on Main, that there was some discussion about whether it had been turned into a duplex or was truly single family, that it is now under contract. It just kind of revisits
as a single family, though, right?
Is it, that's one of my questions. Is it a single family? Because there is.
There is an upstairs. Yeah.
It was listed originally as a two unit.
And but I thought they had backed that down
maybe
to
they
a
did.
Single
maybe
family.
They did. But we just want to watch that one. It's right by
the old
parsonage.
The old parsonage.
Oh, yeah.
Because as we were saying at a previous meeting, there's no parking for that.
There is a cutaway.
It's
you can
it's
grass. You could drive up on the grass right next to the house.
But
there
you
is
have to
something
cars
there.
Back to back
right.
if you were to use it as a parking.
But it theoretically shouldn't be a rental either, or a multi-family.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that. Yeah, it's 2 years.
To watch that.
Anything else?
That's all I got.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Public Works for doing the mulch along Main Street and the sign at the marina. It looks really good. If you have not seen the sign yet at the marina, the fish is back welcoming you to the marina. The sign was redone. And I'll post a picture tomorrow. I'm waiting for a picture from Keith with all the guys from Public Works that worked on it. They built a brand new garden around it. They redid the wood, put
nice.
Stones down. It looks really nice down there. And then also a shout out to the wastewater treatment staff for doing a great job up there. The mayor's prayer breakfast is on Thursday, May 4th. We combine it with the National Day of Prayer. Details are posted online. You can sign up here at Town Hall or online. It is $15, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much just covering the cost of breakfast. May 20th, and that is at Union United Methodist Church. May 20th is shaping up nicely. The Bicentennial Festival downtown, the parade is at 1. There is also a poker run running from 11 to 4 where they have to turn. That's on the river. If you've never done a poker run, you're on a kayak, like you have 5 stops and you get a poker card. Then you have to turn your hand in downtown at the festival. We have everything that will be running down there will be free. We have free kids rides, free music. We have 4 live bands. We will have a beer and wine garden. You will have to pay, and we have food. You will have to pay for your food, beer and wine. And we have fireworks at the end of the day. So it should be a great day. Tell your friends, tell your family, bring everybody down. If you have any connection, please pray for good weather so that we have a beautiful day on the river. So that would be wonderful. And then July 15th and 16th, we are looking at doing a Move for Life Fund, which is down at the marina. That is the Move for Life Fund. They're a group on the Western Shore, but they were looking to do an activity on the Eastern Shore. And we are doing a 5K 5-ton challenge. And what the Move for Life Fund is, they seek to transform the lives of economically disadvantaged beneficiaries by enabling each individual to seek movement and achieve physical and mental well-being through events, program, and funding. So they came to us through Officer Weaver. We wanted to start getting some. That's one thing that will help us with our Sustainable Maryland certification is having a little more exercise and a little more, you know, health and well-being programs around here. So we're looking for. We'll get more information on that. And
is that both days or it'll be one
so
of those 2 days?
Well, the 5K 5-ton challenge. So the 5K is a run, but the 5-ton challenge is where there is exercising and weights involved. So they're thinking about splitting it on Saturday and Sunday. One day is the run, one day is the 5-ton challenge. And what that is where you, like, do a run, and then you have to, like, you have these series of weights that you have to pick up, and then you do another lap, and then you have the next series of weights that you, I will not be signing up for that. I will be, counting the reps. We will need volunteers to count that people do lift their weights properly. But there are people that are into that, so... And then if you had not seen on Facebook, Buster, the blue catfish, has been released into the wild, and he's getting good responses. And then I shared CBS was running, MPT was doing for the Chesapeake week, they are doing how to cook blue catfish. They were doing a recipe special on Thursday the 20th. And then I dropped flyers off at Big Bass USA. They had a demo day in Denton on the Choptank River on Saturday, so I took flyers up for the poker run, and ended up getting interviewed by the guy that runs Outdoor Maryland YouTube channel about the May 20th event. So he just sent me the link to preview it, and if it's good, then he'll share that to help get the word out about the May 20th event. So
May 20th is where?
Downtown Northwest Fork Dock. Remember that when we had the Frog Fest down there? So we'll be laying out the map, like where things will be closed off, where the vendors will be.
Where rides for the kids are going to.
So we have the town park. So right now, probably the town parking lot behind will probably be where all the kids' rides will be.
Okay.
Behind the Sony outlet area
there? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that probably will be where that goes. I think that's where we set stuff up when we had the Frog Fest, and that seemed like a good area. You could still hear the music, but it was away from the food. I think we have like 15 vendors or something signed up for selling stuff. And then I grabbed a few cards for vendors that were at the Big Bass USA day, so they were interested, and they might be interested in Mandos on the Marshy Hope being because they were like, you know, fishing. It was fishing equipment. So spread the word. We'd like that to be a good event since it's pretty much free for the community. And then that's all I have. So if nobody has anything else, we'll take a motion to go into executive session for legal advice.
I make a motion that we adjourn to executive session for legal advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for coming.